The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You're listening to Pure Rock Radio. Feed your addiction. Yeah!
This episode of Radioactive Metal is dedicated to the memories of Leslie West and Killing Time's Rich McLaughlin.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to this special metal Christmas episode of Radioactive Metal. I don't know if we're going to make this like part of our numerical order, or if we're just going to make this a special episode or not. Who knows? It's just kind of the way we're doing it. I'm Snowy White.
And this is Aaron. And I'm sure the listeners will figure it out, because they'll either see a number or they won't. So they'll know kind of before we do, but after we do at the same time. They'll know after a past us, but now future us will know. I don't know how that works. But anyway, this episode,
Marty,
like any other episode, is brought to you by the wonderful folks at True Cult Coffee. Hopefully, as you're listening to this, you have been listening to us for a while and were smart enough to get in on the Krampus roast. And you've got your special cup of Krampus roast. You're enjoying this as you're opening up your socks and your underwear under the tree. And, you know, watching the kids open their gifts. Hopefully that's what you're drinking. But if not, if nobody thought to get you coffee for Christmas, you take the money that your aunt gave you. And you go to True Cult Coffee, TRVEKVLTCoffee.com, and you subscribe today. Because not only are you going to get great coffee every month and you're never going to run out, you will also get not one, but two great bands every month sent to you with your coffee. It's fantastic stuff. So, TrueCultCoffee.com, TRVEKVLTCoffee.com, possess yourself a cup today.
Definitely, definitely. As a matter of fact, right now in my Motorhead mug, which generally, okay, I'm very peculiar about what goes in my Motorhead mug. It's just Jack and Coke. The Lemmys are the only thing that go into this mug. But right now, this is a special occasion. It's the Christmas season. Right now, I've got True Cobalt coffee going, and it's laced nicely with a bit of Bailey's. I made sure I bought a bottle home for the missus who likes that stuff on occasion and all that. So I decided, you know what? True Cobalt coffee for tonight's unique episode.
Well, that would be a little bit of an Irish coffee, and I feel like that's apropos, because at the time Lemmy was born, would Ireland still have been part of the UK?
Good question. Why are you making me? Okay, I'm on holidays here, dude. Come on. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because why I'm thinking of this. Because my week, Snowy, as luck would have it, you're drinking Bailey's Irish Cream, and I've actually been training people in Ireland all week.
Oh, there we are.
And let me tell you, they are wonderful, wonderful group of people I got to work with this week. Like, I haven't trained a new hire class in a while because that's not my job anymore. But they needed people because, you know, it's the holidays, people have vacations, people are out. My boss is like, hey, you're in these 3 days. Would you mind training this class? You know, and it's honestly with a new coworker of mine who I knew as like in a different relationship. I knew of his work, but we never got to work together, and I respect his work. And I'm like, yeah, I'll work with that guy. And we had a blast this week. Like, it's great when you work with somebody, when you're partnering something like this, you sync up, you guys are in step, you know, and then just the people that we were training were wonderful, wonderful people. Like, I really wish we could have been in Ireland with them. And I have a feeling, though, that the one guy would have probably drank me under the table every night, and I would have been training with a hangover every morning.
Right on. Right on. Excellent. Well, we're going to take that spirit and apply it to this particular episode. It's going to be a little bit different, okay? And you'll notice the kind of the differences as we go along. But I figured the one thing that we should keep, and that's our brand new segment, Mandatory Metal, sponsored by Pure Cobalt coffee. And I chose a really cool Christmas related song, and this would also kind of maybe serve as a indie spotlight as well, because I'm going to introduce everyone to Orion's Reign. They have a really cool duet with a lovely young lady with a beautiful voice named Minnie Via. This is Orion's Reign with their rendition of the Christmas classic, Joy to the World.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, this episode is kind of serving two purposes. Number one, as you may recall, the last couple weeks, the world kind of caught up to us. It gave us a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It kind of knocked us off schedule, where we were off a couple days putting out brand new episodes. Well, with this special unique episode, it's kind of getting us back on track. If hopefully you are listening to this for the first time live on Pure Rock Radio, okay? And if not, you are listening, you are downloading it the first time, okay, on Christmas morning. Okay, so it certainly makes for a really cool Christmas treat as well. Hopefully that's what you're doing. Like, okay, you have your time with your family, if you have the wife and the kids and all of that. But maybe in between that time and the time before you sit down to your big Christmas dinner with you know, before, do you give yourself a little treat before the in-laws show up? Before, okay. Okay. And before you know it, it's the Griswold's Christmas all night for you. Give yourself a little treat. Sit down right now here with your cool Uncle Snowy and your Uncle Aaron. And we're going to give this special record the I guess you would call it a listen along.
Yep.
As you recall, for our regular listeners, in October we did our very first watch along, where we provided our expert analysis and commentary for the movie Trick or Treat. Well, we kind of wanted to do something for the Christmas season as well. There is a really, really cool kick-ass record called We Wish You a Metal Xmas and a Headbanging New Year. A couple years ago, Mrs. Snowy and Little Snowy bought me this awesome record on vinyl. A really cool double record set here. I got it in my hot little fists right now. And it's, like I said, it's been a couple years, a couple Christmases, and it's still an absolutely phenomenal package and all that. So really, really cool. All of your favorite Christmas holiday songs kind of done up, metalized, shall we say, by a lot of your favorite artists. Sorry?
I said it's a great collection. And if I'm not mistaken, Bob Kulick produce this, right? And we just lost Bob this year.
Right. So it's even more apropos. Indeed. So what we're going to do now, and please bear with us, this is going to be our very first listen along, in which we got to come up with some sort of kick-ass name for our watch-alongs and our listen alongs and oral something, you know, an oral assault or something.
Mystery Music Theater 3000.
There we go. So however you choose to give this a little listen, the idea, of course, is to listen to us in podcast form, okay, while listening as well to the actual record. So you're going to want to, however you choose, to fire up said release. We actually have it going on YouTube. That's probably the best place for you to do it, just so we're all in sync. And we'll give you a couple minutes here to get yourself in order. Da, 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 da. We wish you a metal Christmas. We wish you a metal Christmas. Wish you a metal Christmas and a happy new year. Okay, everyone is ready.
Drummers drumming, pipers piping.
And there we go. Perfect. And are you ready to press play or drop the needle or however you choose in 3, 2, 1? Thank you. Oh, is that beautiful?
It really is.
I guess it gives it gives you that. Okay, this is going to be you know, that traditional sound. You know, like my mom will really dig this.
Oh yeah.
Okay, like you can put this on for the family. Okay, hey mom, hey dad, hey missus. You know, let me handle the Christmas music this year. Okay, so you put this on and you hear the "We wish you a Merry Christmas" and the bells, and everyone is, "Oh, that's so sweet!" And then, boom, rock and roll.
See, my mom's gonna like this anyway. Like, I don't have to trick my mom. She'd be like, "Oh yeah, I dig this," especially when we get to the track with Dee Snider on it. But when you think about it, man, like, these guys can really sing. You know, I mean, Jeff Scott Soto has an amazing voice, right? He's the vocalist on this track. And, I mean, he can really sing. So I'm sure it was not a stretch for him to do that intro.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Yes, this is "We Wish You a Merry Xmas, Merry Christmas." Jeff Scott Soto, Bruce Kulick, Bob Kulick, Chris Wise, and Ray Luzier.
Yeah, I love that the brothers are on here, right? Bruce and Bob. Like, Bruce Kulick, he will always be, like, one of my favorite Kiss guitarists, right? Right behind Paul Stanley. He's fantastic. He'll always be a part of Kiss to me.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
See, listen to that vocal work. Like, that's a great vocal arrangement there. I love that. And Ray, if I'm not mistaken, Ray's a Pittsburgh boy.
I'm right on.
Because he's the current Korn drummer, right?
You know what? That name does not ring a bell.
All right, let me check him out. Yeah, he's a Pittsburgh boy. And okay. He's just like roughly a year older than me. He's 50 here. Well, maybe like a year and a half, 2 years. But yeah, he's a Pittsburgh boy, and he was the current, he was the current Korn drummer. Let's see if he still is. Yeah, it looks like he still is.
Okay.
But he's done a lot of stuff.
The trivia with the new metal I'm finding more and more is kind of leaving my head. I gotta remind myself. It's like, oh yeah, this guy was in that band, and this guy was in this band. And it's like, oh yeah, this guy left us. Holy shit, you know, like.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Okay. Like, right there, the way that they're doing that, the guitar work, that is so Bruce, because he did that same sort of tone and the way he kind of scooped into those notes on the Revenge album. Oh, my goodness. Like, I love when I can hear him be like, oh, that's Bruce. That's Bruce. He's such a great guitarist, man. I love that guy. I really feel like I should be drinking eggnog or hot toddies.
Well, I actually stopped on the way home just to get the missus some eggnog, and they were all out. We're all out of eggnog. I couldn't believe it.
Now, did you ever go caroling as a kid?
No, you know what? And sometimes I think that might have been a life's regret, because who knows? I might have met a, you know, nice young lady that was all into stuff like that. Who knows? But no, I never did.
We used to go caroling with like our church group. Like, we'd have like a church Christmas party. Right. And then we'd go out and go caroling for like church members that were kind of shut in. I love it. Like, I've always loved it. It's just a good time.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. No doubt. Like I said, yeah, you're right. It's probably something I should have done.
See, that's a good ending. That last part is Bob, I'm pretty sure. Yes, this is one of my favorite tracks on this record.
This is far and away, yeah. This is a lot of fun.
Lemmy, is, Billy Gibbons, sorry? Dave Grohl. How rock and roll is that?
That's it, yeah. You can't top like that. That is an absolutely amazing trio.
And they're playing Chuck Berry.
Oh, it definitely has that feel to it, yeah. Yeah, this record is a staple. Ever since they bought it, every Christmas morning, you know,
it's so
I
good.
Play it while we're unwrapping presents and all that. My mother-in-law is not too thrilled about it.
But it's really a great record. Like, I'm looking at this track and, like, I can't think of anything on here that's going to be really, like, an assault on anybody's eardrums. But it's also been a while, so we'll see what happens as we go through this.
But on the flip side, I've actually played this at my dad's place, the ultra-conservative. They're all a bunch of scumbags, blah, blah, blah. But we got into a couple songs through this record, and he's actually said, you know, I could actually listen to this. This actually isn't that bad.
It's a great record.
And all that. Oh, yeah.
And what I enjoy is, so you've got Dave, Lemmy, and Billy, right? So Billy and Lemmy are, they're rock and rollers from way back, right? Like, they've got roots in the Beatles, Chuck Berry, all that sort of stuff. You know, and I love Chuck Berry, so to hear them do the Chuck song, and then Dave loves Billy Gibbons and Lemmy, so, like, for him to get to play with his heroes, just, oh, dude, this is such a good track.
Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely amazed by ZZ Top, too. They've been around for 50, I think this year marks 50 years.
50 years.
It's always been the three of them. Since they started recording, they never had a lineup change. That's amazing.
Yeah, you can barely get married couples that can stay together for 50 years.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
You know? Gee,
for sure. And, you know, this is the day and age. Ego, you know, and when you're in a band, ego, money, girls, all that shit all starts coming into play. And before you know it, bands are, you know, members are coming and going. But, man.
Well, I thought it was pretty impressive because Billy was talking about, I think it was the drummer either had to go into rehab for drugs or for something physical. I really can't remember what it was. But, you know, the band just stopped. And, you know, when they asked Billy about it, they're like, why'd you do this? Like, well, it didn't even occur to me to replace him. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
yeah.
You know, and that just says something. It's like, okay, like, those three are really, really in it. You know, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 50 years. Oh, this is such a great song.
Yeah, I can't wait for Radioactive Metal's 50th anniversary. Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be something. Did you hear the way Lemmy said Merry Christmas? I love that.
There we are.
Oh, so what's your timer at? I may have to pull mine back a second. How many minutes?
I'm at 8:39, 8:40, 8:41.
Okay, hang on. What are you at right now?
8:47, 8.
Okay.
51, 52.
Yeah, so I clicked the wrong thing when I was trying to turn up the volume earlier. I'm like, I was ahead of you. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully I'm lined up better now.
There we are. Okay, well, we're just starting. Santa Claus is coming to town.
The best
Alice
part.
Alice Cooper, John 5, Billy Sheehan, and Vinny Appice. Man, how's that for a lineup?
So, the minute you hear this song start, it just sounds like an Alice Cooper song.
It does.
Right? And then when you hear, like, Alice being Alice, it's like, wow. Like, he can make anything creepy. Anything.
He can. Well, that part alone in that song about the whole Santa Claus' mythology about him watching the kids, he sees you when you're sleeping and all that, like, wow, like, could you write lyrics like that for a jingle today? Some old man looking at kids and all that? Like, you probably couldn't.
See, I didn't even think about it from the creepiness of that perspective.
I mean, as a society, we're having a hard time with that one with
Oh.
What do you call it?
Baby, it's cold outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, the date rape song.
Right.
And it was so funny until somebody pointed that out to me. I never even occurred to me. I started listening. I'm like,
Oh, yeah. Whoa. Oh, wow.
Yeah. But what sucks is it's still a great song with an amazing melody.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and so. If someone never said boo, no one would have. You know what I mean? It wouldn't even have been an issue. I love how it's Santa Claus, like Claus, C-L-A-W-S. Yeah. Like, that's perfect.
Well, so back to that, like, you think about, like, the whole, you know, he sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake kind of thing. I honestly think, dude, I mean, let's put this into perspective of the same people that wrote the Brothers Grimm's fairy tales, which were pretty gruesome.
Oh, some of those are brutal, too.
Right? And so I honestly think that, you know, they weren't thinking about it from the creepy perspective as much as they were writing it like, listen, this guy's going to get you in your sleep. You need to be good. You know, I think it was more like to scare their kids into being, you know, good, you know.
At the end of the day, that's kind of what the whole Santa Claus thing is. You better be good or you ain't getting any presents.
Exactly.
You know,
December gives you 24 days of well-behaved children.
And then the rest of the year, they're terrors. Yeah.
I told my wife something today. I said, you know, because we do the whole German thing where you hide a pickle in the tree, you know?
Oh, okay.
And then if you find the pickle, you get an extra present. And I told my wife, I said, we've been doing this all wrong. I said, rather than hide the pickle, we should have been like, whichever kid's the quietest for the month of December gets the extra present. Because they've just been off the hook this year, man. Like, they've been so wound up. Like, I'm training these people in Ireland, and I can just hear my kids, like, right outside my door just screaming. I'm like, oh, God, come on, guys.
You want your kids to behave, and you want your wife to be naughty.
Yeah, that's... and unfortunately, it's the other way around, you know? That was such a good Alice Cooper song.
Oh, definitely.
So I forgot this next song has Ronnie James on it.
It does, yeah. Yeah, wow. Yeah, coming up. God rest ye merry gentlemen. Ronnie James Dio, Tony Iommi, Rudy Sarzo, and Simon Wright.
Now, Simon Wright, didn't he play for AC/DC?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I think he's still in. No. He is he still?
No, Phil Rudd's playing
Phil
now.
Phil Rudd's in AC/DC. Yeah. Simon Wright. Yeah, he went from AC/DC to Dio.
Well, and here's the crazy thing. Like, listening to this, I'm like, he doesn't sound like an AC/DC drummer at all.
No.
You know, so like, it's even amazing that he made it as long as he did. Man. Listen to Ronnie just wail on those notes. Like, what a voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, I mean, to have Tony Iommi, so this is basically like Black Sabbath or Heaven and Hell.
Those are total Sabbath riffs you hear. Like, you could take this, maybe change the melody so it doesn't sound like a Christmas song. Yeah, and you could totally drop it into the Heaven and Hell record.
Well, see, and that's the crazy thing, man. Like, so, like, Run, Run, Rudolph, that's a rock and roll song, right? It's a rock and roll song where they wrote about Christmas. And that's so Lemmy, right? Because Lemmy's always like, hey, we're a rock and roll band. But a lot of these other traditional Christmas songs are, you know, from a time where... how do I put this where I don't sound like a pompous jerk? But like, they're older, so there's a different sensibility with the way that they wrote, and you know, so it was like that classical kind of thing, or like, but it wouldn't have been classical because it would still have been folk music. But they wrote things darker, you know, they weren't afraid of minor keys and things like that, and that really works well with metal. I mean, a lot of these, like Carol the Bells. Carol the Bells is a heavy song before TSO even touches it. Mm-hmm. And then you put metal guitars behind it, it's like, oh, yeah, that's what was missing. You know, like, like some of these songs were already metal songs, just written before they had distorted guitars.
Right.
You know?
Just screaming for it. Yeah.
It really was. They really are, you know? That's exactly what's happening. This Trooper beer is really hitting the spot tonight, in case you're wondering.
Right on.
Like, just listen to that, listen, man.
That's total. Yes, that's total Dio era Sabbath.
Yeah. But just the way he's hitting those notes, the way he's going for it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn, man.
I saw Dio once live when Heaven and Hell, the Black Sabbath, like when the whole copyright issue with Sharon Osbourne and all that, they had to call themselves Heaven and Hell and all that. And it's just like, wow. It took forever, but to finally see him live, and I was right up close to the stage, about five rows, you know, from the stage. Just close enough that when he does the horns and looks at you between them,
yeah,
and it's just you make eye contact and he's doing that, and it's just you and him, you know, like the arena full of people, just at that second, they don't exist. It's just you and Ronnie rocking out.
I was right at
that moment.
I never saw Dio live ever, but I would have loved to have seen Rainbow.
Oh, for sure.
That's what I would have loved to have seen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and of course, go back into the Radioactive Metal archives when we spoke to Craig Goldie a couple of years ago. You know that. He had lots to say about Ronnie James and his time in Dio. And all that. I guess that's the closest we're ever going to get to Ronnie James. Although maybe one day the executive producer of this record was Wendy Dio. How awesome would it be to have Wendy on this, on our show?
That would be fun, yeah.
For sure, for sure. Silver Bells, Queensryche's Jeff Tate, Carlos Cavazzo. Sorry?
Jeff Tate, man. Listen to him well on this.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Tate, Carlos Cavazzo, James Lomenzo, and Ray Lucier again.
Yeah.
Remind me, James Lomenzo.
He plays with Black Label Society.
Ah. Well, no wonder he's a friend of Carlos Cavazzo then. Those guys, those guys sound like they would be great buds. Yeah.
Well, yeah. He was also in Megadeth for a while, too.
Oh, shit. Right, right. See, this is what happens, just 40 years of listening to a band, and they're not ZZ Top. They have 800 different lineup changes.
Oh, that's the thing, man. You know? And I mean, dude, we're hitting an age where we really can't remember everything.
Yeah, as try as I might. Yeah.
And it's not even the fact that we're old. It's the fact that we have so much to remember.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, because when you're 20, you can keep all of it together because, like, you're really not remembering that much or you're remembering specific things.
Right.
But, like, you know, after 40 years of Megadeth, it's like, okay, when did Dave kick that guy out? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. What band was he in before? What is he doing now? So when I say shit like, listen, punk, I've forgotten more than you'll ever know. Okay, that's not just an expression. It's getting to the point where that's fucking relevant now.
Dude, speaking of that, one of the guys that I was working with this week from Ireland told a great story about he actually was assisting a lady who worked on the Enigma machine, like actually cracked the Enigma machine code in World War II.
Holy jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, right? And it was one of those things where it's like, that lady's forgotten more things about technology than I'll ever know. You know? And it was one of those things where he was telling the story because he kind of misjudged her. He just figured, okay, she's in her 80s now and probably isn't really good with technology. And she's like, oh, no, young man, let me explain to you. Like, she knew exactly what was going on, man.
Like yeah. You hear the boomers giving it to the millennials and the millennials giving it to the boomers. But you know what? both generations have their strengths and weaknesses.
Absolutely. But the one thing they have in common most often is they completely ignore Generation X.
Oh, yeah. And here we are sitting back, best of both worlds.
I sit back and I just watch and smile. And then my favorite's when somebody looks at me and goes, okay, boomer. I'm like, how the fuck do you think I am?
You don't even know what that means.
Yeah,
then.
Do you know when the baby boomers were born? Because I'm not that damn old. Like, do I need to go dye my hair? Is that what's going on? Dude, listen to him wail, man.
Just amazing, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Now here we are. Queensryche is doing the whole Jeff Tate's Queensryche, and you know they have a different vocalist now and all that. Which who is that? What's his name from TT Quick? Is Queensryche's vocalist?
Why doesn't Jeff Tate just call it Operation Mindcrime?
Doesn't he kind of do like his own Queensryche tribute, sort of?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, instead of calling it Jeff Tate's Queensryche, call it Operation Mindcrime.
Maybe he is. We should get our intrepid listeners to let us in on that. See if we're maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Because that's starting to kind of ring a bell. This is what I mean about not remembering everything and doing everything, because we don't have anything planned. We have no notes. We have no nothing.
No.
We're shooting from the hip here.
I definitely feel like an old man tonight. I really do.
Yeah. Coming up next, Little Drummer Boy.
Okay.
Which this is a made for metal, this song, because the drums is such a big, it's such a big part of, metal and all that. Doug Pinnick, George Lintz, Billy Sheehan again, and Simon Phillips.
Yeah. So Doug Pinnick, what a badass.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I saw him a couple years ago on the Experience Hendrix tour. It was him, Kenny Arnoff, and, oh my goodness, Joe Satriani. And they did, and I mean, there's more than them, but those three did a lot of songs together. And, dude, you want to talk about an insane trio. And, Doug can sing, he plays, just what a killer musician. And his voice on this is just so good. And listen to Lynch. Like, it's nice to hear Lynch, do something that's not his typical screamer stuff.
Right.
You know, and when I say screamer, I mean, the screaming guitars. Like, he's famous for those pinch harmonics. And this is where you're like, oh, son of a gun. He's actually, got some taste there.
I like how he changes up the melody of his vocals with the on my drum part there.
Oh, yeah.
And more drummers, more metal drummers, like your Donald Tardy's from Obituary, guys like that should every year they should all get together, or they should. Okay, who's going to cover Little Drummer Boy this winter? Well, I'll do it. Okay. The following year, another drummer from extreme metal. I got it this year, guys. Okay, I'll get it next year. Okay, sure. And then every year for the rest of, as long as I got breath in my body, I'd love one of these killer drummers, preferably ones we've had on the show,
dude,
to cover this every year.
I like this drummer idea. Every year. I got to hear Benante. Charlie Benante is one of my all-time favorite drummers. Oh my goodness, I'd love to hear them do that. And the thing is, Belladonna's got the voice. Like, Anthrax could really pull this song off.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because Belladonna's got the voice to do it.
I don't think there's anything that Joey can't sing. I remember years ago, Joey Belladonna took flack for trying. Oh, he's trying to be the next Steve Perry or whatever. It's like, dude, let the guy sing. Let him. He wants to have a vocal solo.
Yeah.
Let him have a 5-minute fucking vocal solo and then he'll get back to raging. Like, come on. Let him be an artist.
Oh, listen to those harmonies. Oh, those vocal harmonies are so nice.
This is another one of those all-star bands. Like this, every one of these songs, man, like we just, last episode, we had the Mighty Scour on. They were like an all-star band. Every one of these songs, man, there is not, you know, there is not an, like, if every one of these lineups on every one of these individual songs was to put out an album, there's no way I would not be buying that.
Dude. Hey, did you tell me, and this isn't music related, but didn't you tell me that you've got the HBO Max right now to watch Wonder Woman?
No.
Okay, I totally thought you did, because Wonder Woman 84 is going to be on HBO Max on Christmas Day.
On Christmas, yeah.
Yeah. One of my friends at work, she's literally planning on watching it for the next 24 hours straight. She's so excited. It's not even funny. But I was going to tell you about that, because if you end up like doing like an HBO Max trial or something like that, they have a ton of Godzilla movies on there, like the old stuff, like the old original black and whites and Ghidorah and Mothra and all that stuff. Like my son and I have been going through them and we're having a great time with them.
HBO Max, I'm going to have to... Like, we have the Crave streaming service, which handles a lot of HBO stuff. Maybe that's what you're thinking of.
What was that last part?
We have the Crave streaming service.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which does have some HBO programming on it.
Okay.
Maybe that was it.
I could have sworn, like last episode we were talking, you mentioned something about HBO and Wonder Woman. Or seeing Wonder Woman or something like that?
I definitely want to. It is coming out in the theaters Christmas Day.
Yeah, Christmas Day. And it's going to be streaming on HBO Max. And they're talking about doing Godzilla versus Kong that way too.
I have to see these movies in the theater.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm hoping by then we'll still have theaters.
Right.
You know, because like our cases keep going up. And we've got all these people in from out of town right now because people are still traveling. And it's one of those things where, like, I kind of want to rent a theater to see these things, but there's nothing I want to see bad enough. Like, if Godzilla versus Kong was out now, I would absolutely rent the theater out for my birthday and take my son and be like, okay, we're going. Here we go. You know? But yeah, like, I just keep hoping we have theaters. In May, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, our theaters right now are, they're on hold. They're closed right now. But with this one, I'm thinking, well, maybe they'll, to get the Wonder Woman movie, maybe select theaters here will be opened for it. Like, I'm not taking Mrs. Snowy out into that, you know? Out into the world. I'll go by myself and with a mask and a big long 6-foot stick. You know, everyone back off. I just want to see this damn movie.
Yeah.
Well, this is Santa Claus is Back in Town. Ripper Owens, Steve Morse, Juan Garcia, Mark Mendoza, and Vinny Appice again.
So Marco Mendoza, is he related to Mark the Animal Mendoza? Or is he a different Mendoza?
I don't think so.
I need to see.
And I'm trying to... I remember we've talked about Marco Mendoza on this show before.
Oh, he's in Blue Murder and John Sykes. Okay. Okay, yeah. And Whitesnake. Oh, yeah.
That was it, Whitesnake. Yeah, that's how we were speaking of him. Yeah,
dude,
and of course Juan Garcia, Rat for many years.
Oh yeah, dude, but just listen to Ripper.
Oh, I know.
Oh, they got some of the greatest voices in metal on this.
All right, I don't care what anyone says.
The next track, I am curious to hear what happens.
Oh,
I don't want to give it away yet.
This next track is definitely going to be a stormer.
Yeah, because it's been a hot minute since I've heard this one.
But oh, just, good.
Like, looking at the lineup of who's on it, I'm like, oh, this ought to be intense.
Oh, yeah. I'm just gonna let it catch up to you.
Here we go. All right. What time is your thing at right now?
I am at 30, 47, 48, 49.
Perfect. Just listen to that.
Chuck Billy, man.
All right. This is the first song that would make one of the in-laws turn their head and be like, oh, turn that noise off.
What are you listening to? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, though, is like, Chuck Billy can sing, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, like, all the early Testament records, Chuck Billy could really sing. And like this voice, when I started hearing Testament songs with this voice, I'm like, whoa, they get a new singer? So I was like, no, it's still Chuck Billy. I'm like, really? Like, I mean, he's got some serious range. So, I mean, he can do great death vocals, but he can also really sing, you know? And I was curious, which way are they going to go?
Oh. Well, he had the death metal vocals. Well, there was that period in the 90s when Testament were, they were borderline death. They were borderline death metal.
Oh, yeah. Know? Oh, absolutely.
No one was buying any of their records, but a lot of metal bands were totally taking a hit.
Okay. Listen to those guitars. That's so Ian right there.
Oh, that's so Anthrax.
Yeah. We just the way he's flying, like that's Ian. Like, who else is going to pull that off?
Of course, this is Chuck Billy on vocals from Testament, Scott Ian on guitar.
Yeah.
John Denius. Chris Wise once again, and John Tempesta.
And Tempesta's on drums, right?
Yeah, he's the drummer. Is he the current Testament drummer?
I think so. This is previously Tempesta.
So, yeah.
Hey, let me look him up.
Please, because I know one of our listeners is like, come on, Tempesta, you should know this, you guys. Get your shit together.
So, doesn't look like it. He was with Tempesta on 94 for a while, right? So he's also been playing with Rob Zombie.
Oh, okay.
Heck, and with the Cult. Dude, he played with Exodus too. We missed that one.
He record with Exodus?
Yeah. Impact is imminent, good, friendly, violent, fun, and force a habit.
Maybe that's why I'm thinking Testament.
Well, no. Testament was 94, and that was low.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, okay. See, low is one of those records that, like, took Testament, like, to the brutal, you know, the next level.
Yeah.
So I imagine Billy, Chuck Billy and John Tempesta said, let's kick this 90s Testament style.
Right. But just like the guitar work is so Scott Ian.
Oh, definitely. Like, those are total Anthrax riffs.
Scott Ian is one of the world's greatest rhythm guitarists. Like, just hands down, man.
Mm-hmm.
Just what a guitar player. Oh, holy cow. Listen to that solo. Jeez. That was killer.
Yeah, right out of the blue. So that is the end of the first record. So... Side C, record number two of the two record set. This is Deck the Halls with Oney Logan.
Yeah.
On vocals, our Radioactive Metal alum Craig Goldie on guitars, Tony Franklin on bass, and Mr. Tempesta drumming once again.
All right, who's Tony Franklin? Why do I know him?
Drawing a blank, too. I know it's so tempting to Google and all of that, but okay, let's see if I can find... Part of this record is just... Yeah. Is, it's a gatefold cover and all that, and they've got all their mugs here, so if I can find him, where the hell? Where are you hiding? Someone was camera shy for this record. Where are you? Tony, where are you? He's not in here. His picture's not in here. Wow. You might have to Google. We did our due diligence and we spoke like humans to one another first.
We did try that. All right, so let me click Tony Franklin. All right. Oh, The Firm with Jimmy Page.
Ah.
Okay, that makes sense. But, I mean, he's worked with a lot of people. And you know what? Here's why I know him. He has a fretless Fender Precision bass. And so I used to see him in all the Fender catalogs, probably like in the 90s. Look at that.
Did you hear about that wife that just got arrested for beating her husband with a guitar?
No, tell me about that.
Yeah. She was beating her husband with a guitar, and the judge said, first offender? No, I used a Gibson first, then a Fender.
I love that joke. Never gets old. A friend at work, like, saw that somewhere, sent me the picture and said, can you please explain this to me? Like, my friends tell me it's funny, you know. And like, and she knew that I played. I'm like, okay, here's what's going on. And then once she got it, she's like, oh, but I mean, if you don't know, you know, like that's definitely a little bit of insider knowledge. I mean, I like to think that Fender and Gibson are household names by this point.
Oh yeah, but, at least for music fans,
but not for everybody apparently. Okay, that was great. I am looking forward to this next song because I can't remember it, and the lineup alone is intriguing.
This is going to be like the hair metal song coming up of the record, I guess.
Well, hair metal, but also like it's almost like another Run Rudolph, you know.
Mm-hmm. This is actually the real or whatever, maybe when one of her country artists does it. This song coming up is my mother-in-law's favorite Christmas song.
Gotcha.
This is Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Rat Steven Piercy on vocals. Tracy Guns, Alec Guns on lead guitar, rhythm guitarist, Bob Kulick once again, Billy Sheehan on bass, and Greg Bissonette on drums.
Now, Greg Bissonette, I remember, because him and his brother played with Maynard Ferguson, jazz trumpeter, but they also played with David Lee Roth.
That's where it was, yeah.
Yeah, Greg and Matt Bissonette. So... I'm going to tell you this twisted story. It was it Christmas 2014 or Christmas 2015? I can't remember which one. It could be either one at this point. maybe 2015. My last surviving grandparent passed away, and she was in the hospital. I only found out she was in the hospital because of Facebook, because one of my cousins posted it. And I texted my mom, like, are you ever going to tell me this stuff? She's like, well, I didn't want to worry you. I'm like, Mom, we're coming up, you know, for a wedding at the same time. Like, if you let me know, I'll rearrange tickets. I'll be up. Like, let me know. And she's like, well, what do you want me to do? She's like, how do you want me to let you know? I'm like, I don't know. Text me, Grandma got run over by a reindeer. I don't know, you know. But that's like Mom and I's humor, right?
Right.
And so when my grandmother passed, I got a text that just said reindeer hooves.
Oh.
You know? And that's what, like, some people are just, you know, devastated. Like, oh, I can't believe you guys said that. I'm like, it's not that I don't love my grandmother, you know, but like, I don't know. It's one of those things where anything can be funny from the right angle.
Right. Right. And you have to think of the person it's coming from.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously there's no malice coming from your mother.
Yeah, not at all. You know, so.
Right.
It's one of those things. And then, yeah. So I got home for that, and I was crazy being at the funeral home for that one, because I hadn't seen so many of those people in so many years. But I think she was 88. Like, you know, she was probably I think she'd lived the longest out of all my grandparents too.
I don't know, family reunions now, good or bad, I don't know. Like, I see my cousins that are just a couple years older than I am, a couple years younger, that are my age, and they all got gray hair. They got gray beards and gray hair, and I'm like, holy shit, because right now I don't have any gray. I'm a naturally blonde, so you can't tell if I have any gray or not.
Okay. Like,
except in my beard. When my beard grows out, that's why I keep it clean shaved as much.
People try to tell me politely that I'm salt and pepper, but I think I'm mostly salt, dude. I am so gray. I'm so gray to the point where, like, I looked in the mirror the one day. I'm like, oh my gosh, should I start dyeing this?
What happened? Like, what happened to me?
I'm like, I look so much older than I am. Like, I am not that old. I'm like, I think I need to dye this. You know, I mean, like, hell, Marky Ramone looks younger than I do, you know? And that boy's seen some mileage.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I am digging the guitar work on this.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tracy Guns is probably very underrated, because when you think of hair bands, glam bands or whatever, you don't think... But there's a million amazing guitarists and all that, but you think of the frontman.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's who immediately comes to mind. But, you know, like, there's so many great guitarists, like George Lynch, Tracy Guns, CeCe DeVille is definitely very underrated.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, I think people know CeCe DeVille, though, because Poison has some great songs.
Yeah, well, yeah, and it's all sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Then it's not. Well, Poison are great musicians.
Yeah,
you know, the Native Tongue record, when the '90s kicked in, and Poison was pretty much finished in terms of mainstream popularity and all that.
Yeah,
when what's his name took over? Who is the guitarist? He's a. He's a guitar virtuoso. That's.
It wasn't Steve Stevens, was it?
No. I remember that.
I gotta look this up.
Yeah. See, this is what I mean. I'm shooting off the hip here.
So this version of "Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree" is badass, by the way.
Yeah, this is "Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree" with. Jolynn Turner.
Yeah.
Bruce Kulick on guitar, Bob Kulick on slide guitars, Rudy Sarzo on bass, and Simon Wright again on drums.
Okay. So it's either Richie Kotzen or Blue Saraceno.
Okay. I think it was Kotzen.
Kotzen, because he had Fever Dream. Like he was on the Shrapnel Records. He was one of those guys. But I think Blues was too. Because I actually owned the Blue Saraceno signature guitar for a while.
Oh, nice.
Oh, dude, it's a killer guitar. Like, killer guitar. Like, I loved it. Huge fat neck. I finally ended up selling it a couple years ago. I started selling my guitars because I wasn't playing them. And because it's not doing anybody any good in the closet.
No.
So it's got to get out and played. Yeah, it could have been either of those guys. Dude, this is a great version of the song. And again, Bruce and Bob, just two great guitarists. See, Simon Wright on this song, like, I don't think I don't think I would have suspected he could play like this. This is a good rock drummer on this one. I'm digging this one.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, so the next track has Kenny Arnoff, speaking of rock drummers. So I'm kind of excited for that. Because, man, Kenny's a badass.
Yes, okay, I know that name. I've looked at for years. Remind me, though, Kenny Arnoff.
John Cougar Mellencamp.
Oh, okay, yeah, but there's someone else. There's...
Well, no, so... Jack and Diane, you know the song Jack and Diane?
I hear that song almost every damn day.
So, like, he programmed the drum machine for that, and he was kind of upset about it, because he's like, oh, you're using a drum machine? And then they're like, no, Kenny, we need some big drums. And he tells this great story about, like, okay, you got, like, 10 steps to save your career. 5 steps. And he came up with that big drum solo in the middle, like, off the top of his head.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I did not know that.
Oh, dude, great drummer.
That's the stuff that I like. I don't give a shit about artists snorting coke off strippers' asses or anything like that. It's that's the stuff that I like knowing and hearing about. I'll read a book about shit like that.
Dude, I'm with you, man. You're like, those are the stories I like too. Okay, so this is an amazing rendition of this already. I've always loved this song, Happy Christmas, War is Over, John Lennon's Christmas song.
Right.
I've always loved this one. And you know what one I would have really liked to have seen is the Kinks' Father Christmas. I would have loved to have seen that on this album.
I don't know that one.
Oh, dude. Okay. So literally, as soon as we're done with this, you need to, you know, when we're done recording tonight, you got to listen to it. I'll be shocked if you don't know it. But so it's Father Christmas, give us some money.
I'm sure, like, if I was to hear it.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, listen to that guitar. That's Lukather, man. Listen to that. Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is so good, dude. Right, like, right here, between this song and Run, Run, Rudolph, it's worth the cost of this album. And then you get all this other great stuff in between. Now, do you have the version with the bonus tracks? Like Oh Christmas Tree and Auld Lang Syne?
Yeah.
Okay. And is that the version we're listening to?
Yes.
Okay.
We are at 49, 20, 21, 22, 23. Anyone needs a time?
Yeah. This is so good, man. I could just listen to this song on repeat. Like, I love when John Lennon does it, and hearing these guys just like, oh, yeah. And that's the thing. So listen to Kenny Arnoff, right? Listen to those drums. Listen to the way he's got that backbeat on the snare. Such a good swing to him.
And this version isn't depressing.
No.
Like, I've heard, like, the original, and I've heard other covers, you know, of of other bands doing this, and this song just comes across as a little depressing.
I sure can be.
But sorry, this one, it's been a long Christmas holiday for you so far, eh?
Dude, I am so beat. It's been a long, short week, let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, all of our listeners and myself appreciate this, dude.
And HGV. This song is so good, dude. Right here. War is over. It's so good.
Well, I'm out of Chew Cavalt and Bailey's. I think it's time for a Lemmy.
I second that motion. I just finished my Trooper beer. I can totally hear you pouring that right now.
Yeah. Oh, I get lots of listeners and lots of friends. Dude, I can totally hear you pouring that, all your drinks and all that. Okay, this is first song, Side D. We're coming in to the home stretch. We're on record number 2, second side. Oh, Christmas Tree.
Or O Tannenbaum for our German friends.
Fair enough. Well, listen, there's the voice of an angel.
Yes. And Dora sounds pretty good too.
Definitely, yeah. It's Dora Pesch on vocals, Michael Schenker on guitar, Tony Franklin on bass, and the late great Frankie Benelli on drums.
So between Dora and Michael Schenker, like, that's pretty darn German right there.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Great this band would be.
Oh, these guys are killer. For our Christmas dinner this year, we're having a German pot roast, Sauerbraten, where you marinate the meat for a couple days in this crazy wine mixture.
Okay.
Oh, dude, it's so good. Man. Again, this is just like great guitar work, great vocals.
Another timestamp here, 53:22. I remember the very first time I saw Doro Pesch. It was the first Warlock record.
Oh wow!
Back in the mid '80s there, and it's like, how many female musicians were there back then? There was Girl Lita. School, Lee Aaron, Lita Ford, you know, in the more mainstream. But there was hardly any. And now there's just so many wicked, wicked female musicians. And more, I still see it every once in a while. But more and more, we're starting to lose expressions like female-fronted bands.
Yeah.
And all that. And it's good to see that gone. Like, I certainly wouldn't, like, when I'm interviewing a female artist, like, I kind of want their reaction. I want to phrase it in a way. I don't want to say, what's it like being a woman in a band and all that. What I want is their, you know, what are your reactions when you experience that? You know, when someone does say that to you, or when someone says, you're a great band for a chick, you know?
Oh, like, I hate that.
Imagine saying that to, like, and I have friends that I'm personal friends with in the local scene. They hear that all the time. You know, and like, still, You know, yeah. I didn't know you were such a good musician for a girl.
Oh, I hate that.
Imagine saying that to Doro. Oh my God.
No, you know who would have been fun to say something like that to? Because I would have loved to just watch her annihilate the person. But Jill Janis, rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Picture somebody saying that to you. Oh, you're a pretty good singer for a girl. And just watch her level that person.
She just would have went blister. Or Shauna Potter from War on Women.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Speaking of which, and speaking of angels, this is absolute. Oh, this is so beautiful.
This is one of my favorite girl's songs school. Anyway.
Oh, for sure. This is Girl School, Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah, this is a great version of this.
I'm getting chills.
Dude, it's fantastic. It's such a great song anyway. See, I love good vocal work.
Mm-hmm.
This is just beautiful sounding. Now, so Girl School, are they a British band?
They are part of the new wave of British heavy metal.
Because I'd say, because this is typically your, you know, United Kingdom, Great Britain kind of song. And that's why I'm like, just the way they're delivering it, I was wondering, I'm like, are they British? Because there's a bit of that tip of the hat kind of thing, you know, kind of like when an American sings the Star Spangled Banner or America the Beautiful or something like that. You know, there's a different delivery than if somebody from Australia sings it, you know.
Did I ever tell you my girl's school story?
No.
Okay, and for our veteran listeners that have been listening for years, you've heard this story before. But when I went to do some interviews for the show and for the Warren Music Shop, I went to the Noctis Festival in Calgary. During the convention, you know, with the meet and greets, mm-hmm. and we're selling records in a booth and all that, I ended up in an elevator with Girls School bassist Enid Williams.
No.
It was just her and I. And I saw she had a Girls School shirt on, and she said hello in you know, with a British accent. And I knew I wanted to introduce myself and talk to her and all that. But I didn't quite know, you know, well, which member of Girls School are you? I wanted to get her to introduce herself.
Yeah.
Right. And so I said hi, and, you know, going by your shirt, you know, and your accent, you would be. And I was waiting for her to say, hi, my name is Enid. Okay. She just looked at me and went, British.
That's what I was hoping for, actually. Like, that's the best way to say it.
I know you're British, yes. So I introduced myself. I said, well, hi, I'm Snowy White from Radioactive Metal. I'm here doing interviews and for the convention and the festival. And, okay, he's not just some creepy fan I got to watch out for. So her eyes lit up and she went, oh, put her hand out. Oh, very nice to meet you and all that. Yeah, I hope to see you again, you know, throughout the festival and all that.
That's awesome.
And all that. So that's kind of my girl school elevator story.
It's that not just nearly makes me as, so happy.
I mean, some people's minds might go somewhere when I phrase it that way, but, you know, that's not.
I
kind of what it was.
Her response is perfect.
It was
like, you are British. Like, I love that. Like, that's exactly what that's what I want to hear. You know, who's singing on this one?
Okay, this is Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah, Bumblefoot's the guitarist, though, right? He's not the singer.
Yeah. Chris Chaney is on bass. Vocals? Kenny Aronoff on drums.
Yeah.
The vocalist is Steve Kudlow. Okay.
Lips.
The Lips from Anvil. The same he's Lips singing? You had on your show this year.
Oh, he's...
Or last year.
Wow.
From Anvil, yes.
I don't think I could have called this. This is great.
I think he's the only Canadian representative on this record.
So I was going to ask about that. Oh. Okay. This is great, the way they did this track. And Aronoff on drums again, man. He's killing it. This is just a ridiculous amount of talent in one place.
Oh, geez. If you could bottle all of this talent, convert it to energy and all that, you have a nuclear war.
Yeah. These guys are crazy.
Imagine the Christmas party with all of these people.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Just imagine just walking around with our recorder and just hearing all the stories.
Oh, you know? My goodness. And trying to stand up after Lemmy mixes us a drink.
Yeah, I'm afraid a couple Lemmys with Lemmy, forget about it. Yeah.
God.
Hey, Snowy, where are you going? We're not done yet. No, sir, we're done.
I love all the Lemmy stories where, you know, he just hands somebody, like, the bottle.
Yeah.
And, like, have you ever heard Henry Rollins' Lemmy story when he got him to sing on the West Memphis 3 record?
No, what's...
So, Henry called Lemmy, and he's like, hey, would you do this? He's like, of course I will. And so, you know, he told him that they were coming. So somebody went out and got a bottle of Jack, a bottle of Coke, and had it sitting like in the studio when he got there. And Henry's laughing. He's like, Lemmy sees it, just goes right over to it, starts mixing himself a drink. Like he knew it was for him.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just, like Hank's Lemmy story, man, it's on the Henry and Heidi podcast. Like it's still out there. You got to go back and listen to that one.
Oh, okay.
His Lemmy story is just like, that's the stuff, dude.
Yeah. And I hate to say it in one way, but I'm getting a reputation like in the local scene.
Yeah.
Like everyone knows that Lemmy's is my thing.
Well, you know, like I can understand that. Like back in the 90s when I was in a band, people knew me for vodka and orange juice. Because you could walk around publicly with orange juice, not vodka, not so much. So I'd always have like a half gallon of orange juice. And finally people caught on. They're like, can I have some of your orange juice? I'm like, yes, you may.
Bear in mind, everyone, we're not alcoholics.
No, alcoholics go to meetings.
And this is it. Last song, side D. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer with Dez Fafara, Doug Aldridge, Blasco, and John Tempesta once again.
See, this is just metal as hell. And there's just Dez belting out. So, do you follow Dez on Instagram at all?
No, but I'm getting this feeling I probably should.
You really should. He's so damn funny. Like, you see a picture of him and a cat, and he's like, he walks into a room, he owns you, he takes over, and he's a cat. You know, just ridiculous stuff. And then he posted something the other day. He's like, you notice there are no recipes for leftover chocolate? Just saying. Like, and of course, like, for anyone who doesn't know, Dez also has his surf company, Sun Cult, which I'm a fan of, you know. Just, yeah, like, man. He's a fun dude. Like, but you know what's funny? Like, most of the metal guys that I think that we follow really are fun. Like, Gary Holt. Like, he always does his crazy Caturday pictures on Saturdays. And these guys just... You know, I know they sing about death and destruction, but really, they're fun people to be around.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah, we've had members of Exodus on the show. We know firsthand. Great guys.
Yeah, it's just good sense of humor. Okay, so who's on guitar on this one? Would it be Doug? Is it Doug Aldrich?
Would be Doug Aldrich.
Okay, now who did he play with? Whitesnake. That's why I know. Whitesnake.
Blasco has been in a bunch of new metal bands as well.
Blasco's been bass for everybody.
Everyone, yeah.
Yeah. Like seriously, man. Like you know, Blasco is like the sluttiest bassist everywhere. He's been in everybody's band.
Yeah, he was in Cryptic Slaughter.
Yeah.
Years ago, yeah.
Yeah, he's killer. He's a great bassist. Like, killer bassist. Dude. Dez is just attacking this.
This like, is how I'm singing this song at work tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, man. So, I gotta say, I don't think I would have called Doug Aldrich being able to play this heavy. Okay, right there. The way he hit that chord, I'm like, okay, that sounds like a Whitesnake chord. But some of this palm stuff, playing. Man. I don't think I can call it.
Sorry? Go ahead. I was going to say, Doug walked into the school and he saw Dez and Blasco and Tempesta and went, oh shit, okay. I'm playing with these fucking guys. I got to step it up. There we go.
This is so good, man.
Oh, no, it's going to be that time.
I know.
It's almost done.
It's almost there. Oh, that was so good, dude.
Definitely. This is December 23rd. Couple more days or first thing in the morning, I slap this record on.
Hell yeah, man. Well, that was a hell of a time.
It definitely was. It definitely was. It was just amazing just how well, like you pointed out, because you're the musician, man. Like this episode, it's times like this I just sit back and let you talk because like you're the man when it comes to all of this stuff. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Some of these songs just are metal songs before, you know, they hit the electric guitar.
Oh yeah.
All that. And they transfer so well, you know, and it just shows the diversity of the metal world. You know, just so many great musicians from so many different sub-genres as well. You know, like you have the heavier side with Lips and Doro.
Well, you know, Dez.
And the more, yeah.
Oh, I mean, he's death metal at this point, you know.
Chuck and Scott, especially Chuck Billy. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you kind of got, you know, the more middle of the road artists, and then you kind of got your sleazy rock artists with your Stephen Piercy and your Tracy Guns.
So, if we could go back in time and talk to Bob Kulick and be like, hey, we need one more track, and here's who we should have on it. It would absolutely be the Kinks' Father Christmas. I would want Lemmy singing, right? Dave Grohl on drums again. But I think for guitar, like I'm looking at this lineup, I'm like, man, who do we want for guitar? I feel like Bruce and Bob should be the guitarist on that one.
Some Wicked solos, trade back and forth?
So Wicked solo, but like, because the Kinks were brothers, right? You know, Ray and Dave Davies. That would just, you know, fit the whole vibe. And it's a badass song, man. Just, I really, really love it. I've always loved it. It's a good one.
I'm going to have to check it out. I think you're right. As soon as I hear it, I'm going to go, Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I know this. I know this. I
yeah,
know
you're gonna
this.
Know it. So, before we go here, right? And since we're already talking about the fine Canadian boy that is Lips Kudlow, did I pronounce that right? I was looking to make sure.
Sure. Who actually calls him Steve?
Well, Lips.
At this point,
right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so. Remember last week we were talking about Magic the Gathering in Kaldheim, which will be launching here in January.
Mm-hmm.
I was perusing some of the art, and like one of the like just pictures they have up on the Magic site showing, you know, showcasing the art for these cards is this gorgeous tree. And I think I was talking about it last time. So I tracked the artist down, and her account is art.of.anastasia. And her name is Anastasia OV and a whole bunch of consonants and stuff. But I'm bringing this up because she lives in Montreal, Canada.
Oh.
And I'm like, a good Canadian girl. So we need to see
if we can
get her. And dude, you seriously need to check her account out because she's done a lot of Magic card stuff. But you're going to look at her art and go, oh, yeah. Like there's some great stuff here. It's all her art, right? Like I just love girl. Like here's a dragon. Oh wow, I love this dragon. I love this dragon. But yeah, so like these are the kind of people I want to try and get on the show in the next year here.
Right on. Yeah. We're always looking for those unique artists. We love band interviews. They're the bread and butter of the show, but yeah. There's just so many other avenues to express the metal, and that's definitely one of them.
Such a good time, man.
For sure, for sure. You know what is also a good time?
Going to bed, because I'm freaking tired.
Well, a really good time is the, speaking of good Canadian boys, Helix. You know of the Helix.
I do. It's a effect pedal made by Line 6. It's probably one of the best amp modelers on the market.
Okay. But apart from that, there's a wicked Canadian. I imagine. There's, you know what? Helix are still doing it. They're mostly known as a Canadian hard rock band for songs like Rock You, Heavy Metal Love. You know, during their 80s heydays. But Brian Vollmer and the boys, they're still doing it. They're still making original music today. A Christmas tradition at Snowy Manor, okay, is Helix's Christmas song, All I Want for Christmas is the Leafs to Win the Cup. Okay, which of course the whole song is obviously being from Toronto. Mr. Brian is a big Toronto Maple Leafs fan. Last time the Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup was 1976.
Aww.
Okay,
it is like the Pirates, because that's how I feel about the Pirates in the World Series.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time for both. So, I don't know how many years ago now that this song has been around. Mr. Vollmer, he took his frustration and put it into something positive and came up with this wicked song that we've been playing pretty much every Christmas ever since its release. And you know what? I agree. Okay, being Canadian, obviously I want my Winnipeg Jets to win the cup. You know, but I also want to see the Toronto Maple Leafs win the Stanley Cup at least once, please. So with that in mind, we're going to take this crazy train into the station and go out on that fantastic song. How can people get a hold of us?
On the internet.
Okay.
I told you, man, I've been slowly exhausted. So here's the deal, guys. At RadMetal666, Twitter and Instagram, mostly Instagram, because like we read tweets. I don't really feel like I tweet much, But man, Instagram will post pictures of records and magazines and sometimes even Snowy standing in nothing but his Wonder Woman mask. And I'm kidding because we couldn't put that on Instagram. He has to wear clothes too. We at least have to, like, you know, put strategic black bars across things. But
cross my eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We don't want you to know who he is. We don't want you to be able to pick him out of a lineup. So at RedMetal666 to check out our Instagram feed. And that's just a fun place to interact with us. RedMetal, Facebook.com/RedMetal is to keep up with everything there because we're also posting stuff out there. RedMetal666 at Gmail to drop us a line if you want to send us a an email. You can hear us first every week, PureRockRadio.net. And since, you know, we're talking about angels and saints and things like that, let's talk to you about Saint Rich over at Pure Rock Radio for putting up with our crap for how many years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, raise a glass. Let's toast the boys at Pure Rock Radio there. And while we're toasting a group of rowdy boys, let's toast the group over at Shining Wizards Network. Because of them, we are also on Spotify. And they also host a wrestling night in Canada. That you might recognize, like, one of the hosts, Ducky, because you've heard him on this show. Maybe even Snowy, right?
Yeah, I've been known to be on that show once in a while, too.
Every now and then, right? They talk about wrestling. So I want to know, like, is Wrestling Night in Canada the opposite of this, where we're a metal podcast, we end up talking about wrestling half the time? Do you start as a wrestling podcast, you talk about metal half the time?
No, probably not as much as you would think.
Between the two of you, yeah.
You can definitely tell, okay, when we do speak, like, oh yeah, those three guys at Wrestling Night in Canada are definite metalheads.
That's good to know. And I feel like I've hit all the outlets because I talked about Shining Wizards and the podcast and all sorts of stuff. The last thing is it's Christmas and you might go under the tree on Christmas Day and be like, oh, I just got a brand new carrier pigeon. What do I do? Who do I send letters to? Great news. You can send letters to Snowy. So send us your address, you know, and the name of your carrier pigeon to radmetal666 at Gmail or any one of the other social media sites. Message us there, right? We'll get you Snowy's address and you guys can exchange moose mail and carrier pigeon mail. And we'll send things across the pond or wherever else it needs to go. Actually, I would love to write somebody across the pond because I would just want to see how long it takes a letter to get there and back.
Oh, this day and age? Wow.
You know? So, have we talked about the fact that the post office here is struggling?
It's starting to ring a bell, but I know, the American Post Office is a lot of rather upset people.
Well, the American Post Office has been an interesting thing for years because they've had a reputation of not giving a crap about your packages, breaking things, losing things. You know, we have all sorts of rumors about if there's something like a letter that looks like it's coming from the grandkids or the grandparents to the grandkids that it will mysteriously disappear and then show up after Christmas kind of stuff. You know, like malicious things that the disgruntled postal workers do. And that's all here and there, right? That's folklore and that's the stuff for movies and stuff like that. But what I can't figure out is how the original parcel service, right? The original way to get packages, letters, and things back and forth in a time where the main way to get anything is having it delivered to your house is struggling financially. Like, I would think that business would just be on such an uptake. Like, this would be like, okay, we're in the black. This is great. And it just fascinates me. Like, this is one of those things where I'm like, okay, you guys need to crack the books. I want to see what we've been cooking for years, you know?
Got to crack the books on a lot of things.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it's the government. So that's all I got. I know you want to turn this pit a little because it's Christmas Day. Enjoy Christmas, hug your loved ones, hug your neighbors, hug somebody else's loved one, but don't let them see you. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Love thy neighbor, just don't get caught.
you know what? Like, so I want to go out on this note, and I can't remember if I've told you this before or not, and I probably have because I talk about it all the time now, it feels like. But I had an insanely progressive grade school where we talked about Christmas customs every year, right? In every grade, every homeroom had a country, and they had to learn those customs and then be able to teach them back to everybody else. And they had a craft set up to teach you about it. So you go to, like, you know, Mexico and learn things about that. You learn about Christmas customs in Israel, which aren't Christmas customs, they're Hanukkah customs, but you get the gist, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're eight, and they're trying to work with us here. But, like, instead of being upset if somebody tells you Merry Christmas or Happy Kwanzaa or Happy Hanukkah, wish them whatever they tell you back. Like, it's not that hard. Or be like, I don't celebrate Christmas or I don't celebrate Hanukkah. I want to know where in whatever you celebrate does it say to be a total d-hole to people.
That's right.
If somebody says Merry Christmas, you say Merry Christmas back. Somebody tells me Happy Hanukkah, I'm not Jewish. Like, I play with dreidels for years, I'm fascinated by it, but I'm not Jewish. But I'll be like, oh, that's right, Happy Hanukkah. What are you doing for Hanukkah this year?
That's
like,
right.
You know, somebody tells me Happy Kwanzaa. What are you guys doing for Kwanzaa this year? Tell me about your Kwanzaa. Like, tell me about the traditions. Like, I don't understand the people that get offended because somebody says Merry this, Happy that, whatever. Tell me about your traditions. Like, I would love to know, because there's so much to learn still. As small as the world keeps getting, as connected as we can be, we are still so divided by stupid things. So let's all,
one of them.
And let's all just celebrate together, whatever it is, you know, like I'm, you know, up to my neck in corporate America. So I never say Merry Christmas unless somebody says it to me first. And then I will be like, yeah, Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah, whatever they tell me. Now, I did have a coworker who I knew was Jewish, and I would tell her Happy Hanukkah all the time, you know?
Right.
And, cause I'm like, cause I know exactly where we stand. She's certainly not going to be offended, you know? So, yeah, like this is a great time of year to be with your loved ones, go out, talk to your neighbors, you know, and let's talk about another great Christmas song. I know I'm on a tangent here, but so Snowy, are you familiar with Snoopy versus the Red Baron?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And you've heard the Christmas song that he has, right?
Yes.
That is probably one of my all-time favorite Christmas songs. So the chorus is amazing. Christmas bells, you know, ring through the land. Great, great chorus, great melody, very well written. But then the story about, you know, the Red Baron forcing Snoopy behind enemy lines, and instead of killing him, he says Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I miss that era. Like, not that I ever lived through it, right? And this is where somebody's gonna be, okay, boomer. But there was an era when, you know, World War I, World War II, you were fighting, but you stopped fighting on Christmas Day.
They did, yeah.
You know? And I feel like we should have taken it a step farther. Stop fighting on, you know, Hanukkah. Stop fighting for other... Because, well... I guess World War II, they weren't, because that was a whole different thing. They were kind of trying to extinguish that. So kind of makes sense for that one. But like there was this genuine respect for, like, you know what? Okay, we're trying to kill each other right now. However, there's something bigger here, you know? Mm-hmm. And regardless of what you believe, there is something bigger going on. You know, and before anyone says, Snowy always says he's the good Christian boy. I'm not even talking about God, right?
No, I didn't even think you were going there.
Look at the universe. Look at everything that's going on. Just go outside, look at a fucking tree. Try to figure out how that came together. You know, like, as I'm definitely a big tree hugger. But there's so many wonders in this world. There's absolutely something bigger going on. Take a moment to celebrate that and celebrate with the people around you. And, you know, let's try not to kill each other this year. That should be your New Year's resolution. Instead of this, you know, new year, new me thing. And like, oh, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. How about we don't kill somebody?
Don't kill someone. Yeah. Yes.
I feel like that's a good one. How about we don't go to war? How about we don't spread a pandemic? Like these are all good resolutions, you know? That's good stuff. All right, I'm off the soapbox. Go ahead, Snowy. Close this out.
In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a very metal Xmas edition of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Aaron. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. If there's anything I missed, you write us, you tell us. We will say it next time because we want to celebrate with all of you.
Signing off.
Christmas is